Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, and this is the last radio show before the 2016 election, which is Tuesday. So, you know, I have a bunch of things to talk to you about today. Some of them, all of them directly or indirectly tied to the election. Many of them you have not heard because of all the other noise and clutter. Some of them you have heard, but you have not heard kind of the underlying story. So, since this is kind of jam-packed, we're going to get started. Number one, you'll see a plethora, I mean a bunch of articles on the webpage today. read them. There's some great articles there. There's some great reporting there from all sorts of different sources, as usual. But there's probably twice as many articles as we normally post. And particularly read the politics section. There are several, postings from various campaigns that are needing kind of some last-minute cash. Again, put your money where your mouth is. $10, $20, $30, whatever. Colorado is neck and neck on the Senate right now. In fact, a lot of these Senate races, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Nevada, are literally neck and neck. And we have discussed previously, and I will reemphasize, that Hillary Clinton's plan, she doesn't care about the House of Representatives. That's a red herring. Because if she has the Senate, and she has her little executive order pen, she can, A, appoint hundreds of federal judges, scores of appeals court judges, and the all-important 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court justices, all of whom will bless her executive orders, which completely bypasses the House. So whoever wins the election at the presidential level, whether it's Trump or whether it's Hillary, and I'll tell you my feelings on that in a moment, the Senate needs to stay in Republican control. And hopefully the Republicans will have the cojones to block her appointments, etc., because there is no doubt in my mind that that is the progressive plan. So we've been treated to a bunch of things this week, right? We're going to be talking about what's going on with the FBI in a different context than you've heard. We're going to be talking about the Justice Department. I have often said, in fact, you can put her name in the search bar, Lynch, L-Y-N-C-C-H. I have often said that I had high hopes for her when she was appointed, but they were almost immediately dashed, and with every successive week, it becomes more and more apparent that she is as corrupt and as devious and as untruthful as all the rest of the progressives in the office. I mean, the Department of Justice, with what we have learned just this week, with the WikiLeaks emails, etc., is absolutely corrupt, totally corrupt, as is the executive branch of our government, and for that matter, a number of the agencies and part of the legislative branch, too. So we're going to be talking a little bit about immigration and demographics. Now, I've been jumping up and down on this subject for 2 or 3 years. In fact, type in the search bar immigration. I don't know how many shows will come up. And I've been telling you that immigration has nothing to do with being kind, being nice, you know, being Americans, all that crap, right? Illegal immigration, not legal immigration. Legal immigration is great. Illegal immigration is designed for one thing: to fundamentally transform the United States of America, just as Barack Obama promised 8 years ago and as Hillary Clinton will continue. It is all about voting. It is why Arizona is in play. It is why Nevada is in play. It's why a number of other areas are in play or have moved solidly Democratic. And I include, by the way, Minnesota, with 250,000 refugees from the Mideast. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got some surprising stats. Also, I'm going to give you my prognosis on this election, because I think it's going to be so close that we're going to be in a number of recounts, and I'll tell you where I think they're going to be. I'm going to tell you more about voter fraud. In fact, I discovered, my sister actually sent me the article, and I did a lot of research on it, and I'm going to invite you to Google it up for yourself. I'm going to tell you about the scariest voter fraud deal that I have ever heard about, and I didn't really knew it existed until this week, I'm ashamed to admit. But you need to know about it. It's called GEMS, capital G, capital E, capital M, capital S. And it is built into, listen to this, it is built into 25% of the voting machines in the United States. And when you hear about this, your eyes will cross. And I flat guarantee you. We're also going to talk about, we're also going to talk about what people overseas think about this election. And I don't mean the progressive globalists who inhabit the capitals of Europe and the European Common Union and the United Nations, you know, gag me. I'm talking about the average guy on the street or the lower government echelon official in places like Iraq and Africa. You know, big surprise. It's nothing like the mainstream media tells you. In fact, you'll be astounded, because the populations of the planet, with certain exceptions in the highly liberal countries of Europe, who cares, the globalists, the populations around the planet, in far-flung places that have been touched and damaged by American policy over the last 8 years, have dealt with Hillary Clinton and deal with corruption and really totalitarianism in their own right, in their countries. They are solidly, and I mean solidly, overwhelmingly for Trump. Very interesting. Very interesting. And then I'm going to let you in a little secret, which Hillary Clinton doesn't want to let you into, and that is how she wants to expand Medicare. Now, think about that. We have a system. It works well right now, but it's 17 or so trillion in the hole. It's supposed to run out of money in 10 years. We have a Medicare system, and she wants to expand it from the age 65 to age 55. In fact, she was originally contemplating age 50. That's 39 million more Americans potentially on the Medicare system. Now, let me try and do the math on this. All right, we got a system that's going broke, and we're going to add 40 million people to it. It's kind of like Obamacare, right? We had a healthcare system that had its problems, despite, in my opinion, it being the best in the world. But we're going to add 40 million to it. We have a healthcare system with Barry looking at us with his big brown eyes and lying through his lion mouth. We have a healthcare system that has had a shortage of 68,000 doctors and 110,000 nurses and getting worse. And we're going to add, what the Democrats said, 40 million to it. But we're going to improve the quality of care. Okay, no problem. And your premiums are going to go down. And you can keep your doctor. And you can keep your hospital. You bet. And then I'm going to finish up. And I'm going to have some posts on Facebook. In fact, I'm going to post on my personal page, which I'm not sure I ever really have. Although, obviously, my colors, my stripes are kind of out there for people to see just in indirect postings and, shall we say, the theme of the page. But I've never actually posted, I don't think, anything political on that page. And this, for the very first time, I will have two posts on my Facebook pages in addition to the On the Right Side page. And by the way, for those of you who haven't, go to the On the Right Side page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/OnTheRightSideRadio. And throw us a like, please. That'd be great. Much appreciated. Now, let's get started, because, boy, we got a lot of stuff to cover. A lot of stuff to cover. I need 40-hour days and 10-day weeks. That's what I need. You guys probably do, too. So, white college-educated women. For some inexplicable reason, Hillary enjoys a 27% advantage in white college-educated women. Now, ladies, I am sure there are a number of white college-educated women who listen to this show, although I'm not sure that you are the women who are part of that 27%. Maybe some of you are. But you certainly know women who are in the 27%. And I'm going to be ending this show with the reasons that all these college-educated ladies who are supposed to be smart and have degrees are like not employing common sense, allowing an emotional appeal to overcome their God-given brain power, and allowing lies to cloud their deductive reasoning. And I'm going to ask some rhetorical questions, like, who would you trust, and I don't mean politically, who would you trust or not trust to keep your kids safe if you were out of town? I think you'll find it interesting. That's going to be the last segment of the show. So, the Comey stuff, the FBI stuff. You know, the pundits are unbelievable, right? First of all, the Democratic pundits get on. Well, there is no investigation of the foundation, and this is just rumors, and it's innuendo, and it's this, and it's that, and it's the other. Folks, there is, let me boil it down as succinctly as I can. The FBI, for the most part, there are obviously some bad beanbags at the FBI, too, as we're learning, who would like to pass on information to their buddy Podesta and the Hillary campaign and other people who sit on information and put Comey in a corner. The FBI is embarked on a three-pronged investigation. Number one, Uma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, and the Hillary Clinton staff, and they're getting paychecks from the State Department, the Clinton Foundation, and in some cases the campaign all at once. Number two, the Hillary email server scandal. Everybody calls it the email scandal. It's not emails, it's the server. That's where the problems came out. And number three, the Clinton Foundation, which is as clearly night and day, black and white, absolutely unequivocally a pay-to-play RICO scheme. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that, and probably treason on top of it, since the offices of the monies of the United States are being put into play for the personal gain of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and whoever else, you know, their entourage, and probably Barry Obama, are being put into play for their own personal gain and at the sacrifice of the health, safety, welfare, and national security of the United States, which includes you and your family. Those are the three prongs of the FBI investigation. Now, the FBI investigation is being blocked by the Justice Department. That's crooked Miss Lynch, who meets with the husbands of targets, actually a target himself, in that third prong of the FBI investigation, privately and in secret. And then tries to tell us that they talked about grandkids and golf. It appears that Mrs. Lynch, who said she was going to step back and just go with the recommendations of the FBI, it's come out that the FBI has recommended a grand jury, which gives them, without a grand jury they don't have, and with a grand jury they do have, certain subpoena powers, certain powers to issue warrants, and they don't have to go kind of a step-by-step run to the court, get this permission, get that permission. They have one place to go to put together a thorough, comprehensive investigation with witnesses and everything else that they need to do that. And the Justice Department, we learned this week, has blocked it all the way along. So, they can say, this is how clever and devious the progressives are, right? They can say, we're not blocking the investigation. Because they're not. They're just making sure the investigation can't proceed smoothly, and can't proceed completely behind the scenes. Do you understand? This is typical progressivism. We should not be surprised, since Lynch was appointed by Barack Obama, who you might have seen part of his speech, his unbelievable. His speech is mostly to college kids. I guess he's down to the point where he has to pick on the dumbest of us all. And I don't mean dumb in terms of intellect. I mean dumb in terms of life experience. Dumb in terms of glittering hope, because they haven't experienced reality. He has to pick on that crowd to try and get that young vote out and feed them a bunch of garbage. Both direct lies and lies by omission. You know, the 15 million jobs. I mean, I've talked about that a million times. Yeah, well, if part-time janitorial services is your gig, I guess you're one of the 15 million. Healthcare. 20 million new enrollees. First of all, the figure is false. It's 12 million. 14 million at the max. That's by his own Human Health and Services staff. He doesn't mention, of course, 9 to 11 million people have lost their policy, which brings the net gain down to 4 or 5 million. He doesn't mention the premiums. He doesn't mention the care. Look, I don't need to go through this litany. You know him. You know what he says. You know that it is 99.99% false. The only question is it completely false, as in, I didn't know anything about Hillary's email server until I read about it on the news. And then, thanks WikiLeaks, we find out that there's 18 email chains with like 100 and some odd documents, that is, emails back and forth within the chain, with him using a pseudonym to mask who it is to her private email server long before all this became news in March of 2015, when, amazingly, the New York Times broke the story. So this guy just doesn't talk about the truth. I mean, he just doesn't speak the truth. And listening to these campaign speeches with that, I don't even know how to describe his mannerisms, you know, his aloof, I can't stand it. That's all I can tell you. I just can't stand it. In any event, did you know that in this last week, Eric Holder did an op-ed on why the FBI was such a terrible organization and how they were picking favorites? This is Eric Holder. This is the guy originally appointed by Obama, let me tie this in for you, at the Justice Department, who staffed the Justice Department with the crooks that it currently has. And that's not to... Listen, there's plenty of people in the Justice Department who are good, loyal Americans, want to do their job, believe in the rule of law, which we're going to talk about during this show. But the corruption of the State Department started with Eric Holder. And it's being continued beautifully by Loretta Lynch under the expert guidance and focused tutelage of Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett. Then we learn that Donna Brazile, once again, same pattern, right? Never admit, always deny, and then divert the attention. Use the red herring. Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals. So I've just given you three examples here. Here's a fourth. Donna Brazile, right? The acting DNC chairman, who replaced Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who never admitted, always denied, and diverted with red herrings until she got inextricably caught in her own web of deceit. And by the way, after she was fired by the DNC, she was hired by Hillary Clinton. Should tell you a little something. So Donna Brazile denies that she fed questions to Hillary Clinton in advance of Bernie Sanders debates and in advance of town halls. And that's when she was caught the first time. And then two more instances came out, And then we find that CNN canderbutt on October 14th, which networks won't do unless they have found something which they really don't like. I think their exact words were, we're very uncomfortable with what we found, or we're very uncomfortable with this situation, in announcing 2 weeks later their dismissal of her. So, you know, she is kind of on the ropes. Then we have Podesta, John Podesta. If you go into the search bar on this radio show and you type in the words Podesta, P-O-D-E-S-T-A, or John Podesta, you will see that I've been warning you about this guy probably since the show started. He was behind, the press isn't reporting this right now, but if you go back into the show, you will find that he was behind the Occupy Wall Street. He has close links with George Soros. Listen to my show 2 weeks ago, and I'll tell you more about him. We're going to be talking about him today, too, when it comes to voter fraud and voting machines. Boy, it's scary. John Podesta ran the Center for American Progress, about as left as you can get. John Podesta was actually in the White House. His job was to advise Barack Obama on how to get around Congress and how to shape international agreements so that they call them something other than treaties and bypass a Senate vote. In other words, undermine the Constitution, which is exactly what happened with the Iran deal, which one day America and Israel will sorely, and unfortunately, and tragically, regret. Anyway, there are emails that came out through WikiLeaks from John Podesta. There's been a bunch of them. You've heard about a bunch of them. But there's a couple that you probably have not heard about in the firestorm that's raging. And I want to bring them to your attention. This goes to the Clinton Foundation. I want you to understand how all this works. Hillary Clinton set up the private email server knowing full well what she was doing, knowing full well that it subjected America to dangers, and Americans to dangers, and the intelligence infrastructure, which has been built over many decades around the world, the agents and operations to danger. She didn't care. Hillary Clinton doesn't care. Hillary Clinton let 4 people die in Benghazi because she doesn't care. And that's right, she let them die. She might as well pull the trigger herself. And if you think the reports about how the rescue mission was ready to go, but she had them changing clothes every half an hour, from civilian to military to blah, blah, blah. No. You don't understand. She didn't care what they wore. She didn't want them to go. Now, there's many reasons for that. I'm not going to get into it in this show. But the primary reason is the politics of Hillary Clinton. Because she has had her eye set on the plum of the White House. Because with the White House, you have seen, it has been documented now in emails. It has been admitted that these emails are valid by Brand, who wrote the email that said, "Hey, Bill Clinton, you made $50 million, and now you're going to make another $66 million." This guy has come out. Remember, the Democrats have been jumping up and down. "Oh, well, we don't know if these emails were authentic." And he said, "That's exactly what I wrote." He has confirmed it. It is confirmed. And I bet you the FBI is talking to him, too. So, Hillary Clinton wants the White House because she can make 10 times more money and have 10 times more power, and also kind of tickle some of her little ideological fancies and get back at her enemies far more efficiently than she could at the state market, where she and Bill only made $250 million over a period of just a few years, using the State Department as her own instrumentality for her own personal gain at the expense of, the detriment of, and the danger of America and the American people and American agents. So Podesta writes Because do you remember we had there was a discussion? Bill and Hillary originally said, "Well, I'm going to shut down the foundation," and then suddenly that kind of changed, and then it was kind of foggy as to whether the foundation would be shut down if she won the presidency. And then we find out through these emails that Bill Clinton doesn't want the foundation shut down, that Bill Clinton wants foreign donations to keep rolling in, that Hillary Clinton's in agreement, and that all they're doing is having a temporary hiatus in foreign donations because, and I quote Podesta's email, quote, "all foreign donations are in," unquote. He's talking back and forth with one of the foundation people. Remember this triage now, okay? This triad, actually. The foundation, the State Department, and the campaign. None of which can deal with the other by law, by the way. All of which deal with each other all the time. And then try to hide it. With a flow of money, a flow of favors. By the way, it's your money, folks. It's your money. A flow of your money, favors at your expense, all to enrich themselves. So, anyway, what we have found out is that it's a hiatus on foreign donations, that they have all the foreign donations they wanted to get in, and that they will resume after Hillary wins the White House. And, of course, if Hillary controls the Senate, which will give her total control over appointments in the judiciary, and, of course, she has her pen and her phone like Barry, so she can do executive orders, Hillary can do about anything she wants, and we're pretty much powerless to stop it, kind of. But that's for another show. I just want you to understand how this all works. That is why the FBI, and you'll hear about this, that's why the FBI very likely, I would say almost positively, has a third leg of their investigation going, which is the staff, the immediate close staff of Hillary Clinton, and how they could possibly be on the payroll of each of these components of the triad at the same time. And not be in breach of their oath, their employment, and other agreements by and between them and the United States as employees of the State Department. All right, so, listen, we know Obama, Jared, Lynch, and Hillary are corrupt. We know that. This is not in question. What is in question is how corrupt they are, how for how long they've been corrupt, how deep their corruption runs, and given the revelations also this week, I think there were two revelations this week which were the most scary. The others were eye-opening, but we kind of expected them. And one of the two most scary revelations was that, and this was just, I think, Thursday, several intelligence agencies and FBI folks came out and said that, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's almost a direct quote, there is a 99% chance that at least five foreign powers, read into that hostile foreign powers, that five foreign powers hacked Hillary Clinton's email server. Now, we already know that top secret information was being transmitted back and forth. We already know that it was handled so cavalierly and with such utter contempt and disregard for the American people and American national security that it was put on Anthony Weiner's. I mean, Anthony Weiner? Oh, my God. What a perfect name. Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner's laptop by Uma Abedin, Hillary's closest aide, a woman who Hillary calls her second daughter, a woman who was assistant editor at a pro-jihad, pro-Sharia magazine run by her mother for 10 years, and whose parents are closely associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. So I would say, folks, that China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, And yes, ISIS would be the five foreign powers. Now, some of you may kind of roll your eyes and go, oh, well, we don't know. We don't. Look, here's the bottom line. I want you to understand a little bit how intelligence works. There's kind of distant intelligence, okay? I'm going to use that term. Forget the proper lingo. That's your satellites and, you know, that's your high-flying spy planes and all that kind of stuff. Where you can, by the way, they have satellites that can read the brand on a pack of cigarettes from 100 miles up, just so you know. Be careful when you're flipping the bird. Hide your face. But then you have the on-the-grounds intelligence. This is when you have American agents, when you have agents who are working for American interests. For instance, the poor doctor, let me remind you of him to give you an idea of how political these scumbags are. The poor doctor who fingered the location of Osama bin Laden for Barack Obama and Hillary. Remember him in Pakistan? How many times on this campaign trail and how many times since they killed that one guy that didn't make a hell of a bit of difference? It was zero. Net sum zero. Who's holed up in his compound with a laptop in the middle of Pakistan. How many times have they touted the fact that they killed him? This is like their greatest accomplishment. They killed one guy. Terrific. ISIS sprang up and has killed 500,000. They killed one guy. They're terrific. How many times have you heard that as a campaign thing? I heard it just the other day. He even said it to those kids down in North Carolina, whatever school he was talking about. But the doctor, the agent that American agents got to be, that recruited to be our agent, to be a friend of America, so that Osama bin Laden could be taken down, he's rotting in a Pakistani jail. Because these people who now use his work, which was the key to their quote-unquote accomplishment, big deal, you killed one guy, because they don't care. They only care about the political impact. They don't even care about killing Osama bin Laden. They just care about the political impact to them of killing Osama bin Laden. And everybody else who was associated with it, too bad. If all those SEALs had died, they would have cried crocodile tears, done a few false sniffs, and moved on. So long as Osama bin Laden was dead and they could use it for politics. That is who they are. They are the scum of the earth. They are also traitors. Not to mention frauds. And not to mention criminals. The intelligence apparatus of the United States, in its most basic form, is human. It involves human agents. Whether they're Americans, or whether they're Pakistanis, or whether they're Iraqis, or whoever they are. They're the people who gather information on the ground in remote places and through a chain and through codes filtered back to the several agencies in the United States that take it all, put it together, formulate a picture, defend our interests, and keep you safe. On Hillary Clinton's server were the names and the methods, and the locations of many, if not all, of these operatives around the world. Five powers hostile to the United States now have those names. Now, we will never know. Well, actually, I think we'll find out here and there. But we will never know the full extent of the damage. We will never know how many of these agents have been killed or disappeared. We will never know, until it's too late, if some of these agents have been turned back against us and are now double agents. We will never know if false information is now being fed to these agents so that we make bad decisions and to mask the movements of our enemies. We will never know. Here's what we do know. All of that has occurred and is occurring. We also know that agents, future potential agents of the United States, will not be, shall we say, jumping up and down with enthusiasm to get us intelligence when they see the poor guy in Pakistan rotting in a Pakistani jail and forgotten. When they know that Hillary Clinton, for a couple million bucks, is willing to give their names to hostile powers who could take them or their family out. I mean, how difficult do you think it's going to be to recruit to rebuild this intelligence apparatus, which has been perhaps irreparably, at least in the short term, damaged by the self-centered, selfish, and traitorous acts of Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, is aided and abetted by Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama, besides lying about the fact about whether he knew about it or not, has also on several occasions, including just the other day on another interview, said, oh, it was just a mistake and there's been no national security problems. I mean, really? How stupid do you think we are? How stupid do you think we are? And do you remember Hillary jumping up and down saying there's never been any breaches, and besides there was no confidential information, and besides if there was confidential information, I never sent or received confidential information, and if I sent or received confidential information, it wasn't properly marked and nobody will know. Do you remember all that crap? Well, obviously, it was all lies. And now these people expect to talk to us in the final days of this campaign, and they expect us to believe the new lies that they're telling us. I mean, the scary thing is that apparently 40 or 45% of us are doing just that. That's a scary thing. A really scary thing. Immigration. You know, by the way, the other thing that came out last week is all the stuff that revolves around the pardon by Bill Clinton of Mark Rich. And I don't know Mark Rich, and I'm not really familiar with the story. The guy could have been totally innocent, totally guilty. I have no idea. I do know that he was a financier. He got accused of a bunch of bad stuff. He fled to Switzerland to avoid prosecution. And Bill Clinton pardoned him the last day of his last term before he left office. And the guy was pardoned. Mark Rich has died in 2013. I mean, it's old news. However, here's what's not old news. What we learned in those documents, which were released by the FBI according to a FOIA request just this week, after about 10 years trying to get them, is that Mark Rich's wife, Denise, magically, mysteriously, are you surprised, donated $450,000 to the Bill Clinton Presidential Library and $100,000 to Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign. I'm sure there's no correlation to the last day on the last term pardon of Mark Rich. None. All right. Let's talk about voter fraud a little bit. And this also ties into demographics. I've been warning you for years that illegal immigration is really the key to what the progressives want to do with America. It is the key to the globalism goals of globalists around the country. That is to dilute America's values. And the way you dilute values is you dilute on every level the demographics of a country. And what we are seeing in this election, with states that are teetering back and forth between red and blue that used to be red, is the effects of this illegal immigration for literally the last 16 years, but particularly over the last 8, that Hillary wants to continue. Remember what she said. It's right in her speech to the Brazilian bank. My dream is an open hemisphere with open borders and open and free trade. You betcha. You betcha. Anyway, There was a study done by Pew, pretty reputable firm. George Soros has come out. These are in leaked emails over the last 2 weeks. And basically said that the goals of his open society, listen to my show 2 weeks ago, or type George Soros in the search bar. The goals of his open society was to ensure that births of illegal children or births of children born to illegal aliens were at least one for every two legitimate births in the United States. That's right in his own words. The Pew study tells us now that newborns born to illegals are now 7% of all United States births in 2014. Quote, in 2014, about 275,000 babies were born to unauthorized immigrant parents in the U.S., accounting for 7% of all U.S. births and 32% of all U.S. births to foreign-born mothers. That's a scary statistic. 250,000 people, by the way, 275,000 people, by the way, 275,000 babies, that is a population equal to the size of the population of the city of Orlando, Florida, for all you folks who have been to Disney World. The analysis went on, quote, while the annual number of babies born in the U.S. has fluctuated in recent years, most markedly during the Great Recession, when there was a significant drop in births nationwide, the trajectory over the past four decades or so has been upwards. In 2014, there were 4 million births in the United States compared with 3.74 million in 1970. This growth has been driven entirely by the increasing... Listen to this now, folks. This growth has been driven entirely by the increasing numbers of babies born to immigrant women. In 2014, immigrant women accounted for about 901,000 U.S. births, which marked a threefold increase from 1970, when immigrant women accounted for about 274,000 births. Now, remember, we're at 275 for illegal immigrant babies. Meanwhile, the annual number of births to U.S.-born women dropped by 11% during the same period from 3.46 million in 1970 to 3.1 million in 2014. So, folks, I think that will tell you, A, what's going on, B, underline, bold, and capitalize why it's going on, and C, tell you why there are states which have become swing states which used to be red states. It's all part of a plan. None of this is by accident. Now, there are many opposing forces at work in this election. My personal opinion is still, assuming he stays on track, Trump's going to win this. But I think that we could see recounts and lawsuits. There's already been about 9 lawsuits filed in 4 different states over all sorts of things, including, by the way, Broward County, Florida. Remember the Hanging Chads? It's a 2/3 Democrat area. All the poll workers, the election commissioner, etc., are Democrats. Under Florida law, when you send in an absentee ballot, it is not to be opened until the information on the outside of the ballot, the name of the voter, address, all that stuff, is verified, if the other side so wants it, or by both sides, to be true and accurate. In other words, you have a legitimate vote cast by a legitimate registered voter who is legitimately allowed to vote. It's kind of a constitutional thing, kind of a basic American thing. Well, it seems that thousands of these ballots have been opened contrary to the law and in secret by the Broward County clerks. So the Republican committee has sent a letter. They have filed a lawsuit. And all these ballots are going to hopefully, I mean, who knows really how many there are. All these ballots are going to hopefully be reviewed before they are counted. Now, there's other instances. There's problems in with Texas voting machines, problems in Minnesota voting machines. I mean, on and on and on. Fraud is rampant, folks. Miss Producer, would you get that phone, please, and make sure they're off? Sorry, folks. Every once in a while, we forget to turn the phones off so that you can not hear them in the studio. Well, whatever. Gives you a little home touch. Anyway, I think you can see. First of all, I want to tell you folks that there are seven states out there. Just Google them up. States in which early ballots can be redone. Okay? And for those of you who have cast a vote and given the revelations of the unbelievable revelations of the last week, if you wish to switch your vote in those seven states, which include, I believe, Minnesota, Wisconsin, maybe Florida, I'm not sure of that. Just Google it up. It takes a little bit of footwork, but not a whole bunch. Don't be bashful. Switch your votes. The health, safety, and welfare of you and your family and the children of your children's children and the viability of this country is at stake. This is an election, I will repeat it, I've said it in each of the last three or four shows, not between Trump and Hillary, not between a man and a woman, not between a Democrat and a Republican, although I'm not sure those even exist anymore as we used to know them. This is an election between globalism and national sovereignty. This is an election between American values and global values. This is an election where you can choose the change you are unsure of versus the absolute decline you can be positive of. That is what this election is. It is a much bigger picture than all the policy nuances and the mud that's being slung around. So, change your vote if you feel you need to. Okay? You owe it to your country. All right, look, a lot of these states are going to be very, very close, particularly with voter fraud, which is going to be what I talk about next. And it is occurring. And it is, shall we say, part of a plan, folks. This is not happenstance. Yes, you hear about the occasional individual who does something nasty like vote in three states or vote twice or do an absentee ballot and then votes at the polls or who, in the case of some postal workers, steals ballots from Republicans. Yeah, you hear about that. And it all adds up into hundreds of thousands of votes. But there's a much bigger game afoot. It's been revealed in the WikiLeaks emails. It's been revealed in the hacking of George Soros' emails. And I'm going to read you an email here in just a few minutes that will really put you on alert. And I'm going to tell you how it ties into what I discovered, not knowing it, this past week. And that's the GEMS election system. But I think that you could see recounts. In other words, the presidency may not be determined for weeks or longer after the election. Those of you who, by the way, have investments in any of the markets, keep that in mind because that will increase market volatility by quite a bit. Markets don't like uncertainties. So Florida, which has 29 electoral votes, forget what the polls say. The polls are all across the board. It's going to be close. There's an automatic recount in Florida at a 0.5% variation in votes. We've already had several thousand votes called into question in Broward County. We're not even at Election Day. Ohio, 18 electoral votes. Automatic recount at 0.5%. Pennsylvania, 20 electoral votes. Automatic recount at of 1% difference in votes. Colorado, 9 electoral votes. Again, 0.5% is an automatic recount. Virginia, 13 electoral votes. Automatic recount at 1% or less. North Carolina, 15 electoral votes. Automatic recount at 0.5%. Nevada, 6 votes. Recount only in the case of a tie, but a campaign can lodge a protest and demand a recount. New Hampshire, 4 electoral votes. Recount possible at 20% of the winning candidate's vote count. Iowa, 6 electoral votes. Recount 1% or less. Arizona, 11 electoral votes. I'm not sure that's correct, by the way. I think Arizona's 5 electoral votes, but we'll go back to that later. Automatic recount at 1/10 of 1% margin of victory. Maine, district number 2. You've probably heard a little bit about the one district up there, May, which has an electoral vote, kind of a weird deal dating back to the Revolution. Automatic at 1% or smaller margin of victory. That's just a few, folks. And depending upon which poll you want to read or you want to believe, Trump is up or Trump is down. Clinton is up or Clinton is down. They're tied. Blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is every vote counts. That's why they're so intent on perpetrating voter fraud, as we're about to talk about. And that's why I think some of these areas are definitely going to be recounts, and the recounts may take quite a while. For those of you who remember Gore Bush 2000, Broward County, Florida. Yes, Broward and Dade counties. Some things just kind of stay as they are, right? Never changes. Never changes. Anyway, I would not plan on going to bed. We could be wrong. Could be wrong. But I would not plan on going to bed Tuesday night knowing who the next president is. That's my opinion. Now, voter fraud. Okay. You know, besides the fact that the progressives have themselves used the word the system is rigged many, 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 many times, they get all over Donald Trump by saying when he says the system is rigged. Well, folks, the system is rigged. It is rigged. If you haven't figured that out now with the WikiLeaks emails, the lies, I mean blatant lie after lie after lie, lies about the lies and lies about the lies about the lies, the media, which, you know, is just, that's one good thing out of this election. I think the mainstream media's believability back is probably broken forever. The media and this voter fraud thing. And the Justice Department standing in the way of justice. The rule of law upon which our entire society is predicated. Then I just don't know what will convince you. I guess nothing. However, there's a gal by the name of Bev Harris. She is known as the nation's leading investigator of voter fraud. She has just sounded the alarm on a system called GEMS, G-E-M-S, capital G-E-M-S, election system. I encourage you to Google this up. Just type in GEMS election system and see what comes up on Google. And what you will see on Google, I was shocked, is this isn't some right-wing beat-the-drum whatever nonsense. This is real-life stuff. This is a system that can manipulate the votes in 25% of the voting machines currently installed in the United States, and in which George Soros is up to his progressive eyeballs in financing and controlling. The GEM system is run by an administrator. I have not been able to find out who appoints the administrator in each election district. That administrator within 60 seconds can program those machines before, during, or after a vote or vote count to any ratio of counting he or she wishes. Let me put this in perspective for you. 4 votes for Donald Trump could be reprogrammed to count only as 1 vote for Donald Trump. Conversely, 1 vote for Hillary Clinton could be recalculated to count as 2 votes for Hillary Clinton. One can only wonder why this is built into the software on 25% of the machines of the United States that are run by progressives who control the companies which manufacture the machines and install them and are financed by the biggest progressive of all, George Soros. And if you think I am making this up, number one, Google it. Number two, I'm going to read you a couple things here. And I believe that the article is posted under voter fraud, and there's a video that you can listen to also. Bev Harris explains it. So, they can count votes as fractions instead of as whole numbers. They can create an algorithm where instead of 1 vote for Donald Trump equaling 1 vote, it will take 4 votes for Trump to actually equal 1 vote. She creates a cheat sheet, which shows just how severely they could rig elections using GEMS. And GEMS accounts for not only 25% of the machines, but 25% of all votes in the United States. 25%. It cannot be seen by election observers, even if they're standing in the room and watching the computer the entire time. The decimalized vote can be added to large jurisdictions in less than 60 seconds and can be easily removed after an election to avoid inspection. The states which have this system are Alaska, Connecticut, Georgia, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Utah, Vermont, and for certain counties in Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Michigan, Missouri, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, Washington, Wisconsin, and believe it or not, Wyoming. Unbelievable. I'm quoting Bev Harris. Waiting a race through the use of GEMS removes the principle of one person, one vote, to allow some votes to be counted as less than 1 or more than 1. Regardless of what the real votes are, candidates can receive a set percentage of votes. Results can be controlled. For example, candidate A can be assigned 44% of the votes, candidate B 51%, and candidate C the rest. Boy, doesn't that make you feel good. Now I'm going to read you an email that will really, really... By the way, each state government appoints the consultant that manages GEMS on election night. That person is capable of rigging the vote. There's not even a fail-safe system where you have a Republican and a Democrat jointly working this deal. I'm going to read you an email. This email came from WikiLeaks this week. Okay? It was written on 3/19/2016. This is shortly after the New York Times broke the story of Hillary's email and server scandal. And if you read the other WikiLeaks emails, you'll see that the staff of the campaign, Podesta, Mill, you name it, knew that this was going to be a huge deal, knew that this was going to affect millions of votes and millions of minds. They knew it the minute it was released. They knew it the day that they were bleaching 33,000 emails from her server that were under subpoena from Congress, also in March of 2015. So they were already planning how they were going to get around this incredible problem. So here is an email from Todd Mackler, M-A-C-K-L-E-R-R, feel free to Google it, to Donna Brazil, gee, we know who Donna is, right? And John Podesta, we know who he is. This is dated 3/19/2016. Subject, the dogs are loose. Hey, you guys, as you can see from the subject, the dogs are loose. I repeat, the dogs are loose. Loose dogs, guys. You know what to do from here. I'll be meeting with Soros later this week for some pre-programming of machines. We're also going to check out a Collective Soul concert. Never knew George was a fan, but he is, and so am I. So we're going. That isn't code or anything, so don't bother looking for the corresponding code. This just means we're actually going to see Collective Soul in concert. More to come, but yeah, these machines will be humming in November. Just like I'll be humming a few Collective Soul songs next week. Best, Todd. Now, folks, I'm just a poor old hayseed from Wyoming, but I can add 2 + 2, I can connect dots, and I know water runs downhill. I'm going to have more for you on this after the election, but these machines, let me see if I can find the name of them. This is something you might want to check on at your local polling place. My personal opinion is that we need to go back to paper ballots. They're accountable. They're physical. They're real. They're difficult to tamper with. They can be recounted, and they can be traced. Digital machines need to go away. No more digital machines in the United States. This is outrageous crap. And you and I don't need to be worrying about whether our vote counts, whether the Constitution is being upheld. And by the way, this is the kind of thing that third world countries do. This is third world, banana republic, corruption crap. And speaking of that, do you know who 78% of those questioned in 7 countries in Africa, from Namibia to Kenya, do you know who 78% of those questioned in those 7 African countries who are rife with corruption, and who over 80% of those questioned in Iraq, another country rife with corruption, do you know who they favor? No, it's not what the mainstream media has been telling you, how the rest of the world hates Donald Trump and how it's going to be terrible for America and blah, 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 blah. Although that may be true for Andrea Merkel, the globalist in Germany. Who cares? They favor Donald Trump. Let me read you a couple really interesting things from Iraq. This is a run-of-the-mill guy who owns a little business in Baghdad. Quote, America should leave the political correctness and be tough on these countries that finance terrorism. Nashif al-Qadabadi, a Shia Muslim in Karbala province. We need a strong leader, and if Trump needs me to speak at a rally, I will come. If he follows his words in his strong stance and points his fingers at these countries that support terrorism, he will be able to stop it. This happens to be a leader, another guy who happens to be a leader in Iraq's security intelligence arena. Quote, the Iraq invasion was not wrong, but the decisions that followed were wrong. Keeping the army intact and getting rid of the Saddam loyalist bad apples while keeping our security institutions in place would have been far better. Then there's a guy who's involved with the Itfaq political party, Baghdad. Mamoul al-Samarai. When there is a problem in the world, it seems the Republicans take over. When things are good, Democrats win. Republicans will likely have a better chance this time with the problems in our world. Then here's a general in the army, Sahard Mohammed. Quote, I believe that America has always had a stable policy in fighting terrorism, but Hillary has a softer approach. Trump is much harder when it comes to these issues, and he won't put up with it. Let's go to the young Iraqis. I'm going to skip through a lot of this article. So this is conversations, etc., that these surveyors had with young Iraqis in hookah and coffee bars and upscale malls in the major cities. Quote, I am for Trump, Saif Hussein, a 27-year-old flight engineer, told FoxNews.com. Quote, I hope the U.S. policy changes after the elections and helps us to further eliminate the militants and terrorist financiers who support them. It was a mistake to withdraw that quickly. I want the whole world to know that the Iraqi people love life, and we want a fair state. We have lost a lot of young people to war, but we still have a hope for peace. Here's another guy. Dr. Zainab Abbas El-Shafi, 26-year-old gynecologist. He's a Sunni. Quote, the USA as a country is considered the main leader and engine for international alliance against ISIS. So the next president will really determine if the war to eliminate them fully will be serious or not. I prefer Trump because of his opinions about the countries supporting terrorism, especially Saudi Arabia. We are against militant Islam. And Hillary Clinton was Obama's Secretary of State. They made ISIS by using all the wrong strategies, and now they are having to fight it. Okay, here's a young Kurdish man. Quote, and by the way, his name is Haji. They just have one name, H-A-J-I. This election is very important to the Kurdish people as a friend to the United States. We have seen 8 years of Democrats in Iraq, and their policies are not in favor of our desires. They care more about a unified Iraq, but we are focused on our independence. Anyway, I can go on. The same types of quotes, but having to do with corruption, come out of Africa. So I want you to know that the people of the world, not the globalists who run governments, but the people of the world, are solidly, I mean overwhelmingly, behind Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton. The mainstream media has lied to you once again. Now, I'm not going to have time today to do everything I wanted to do. What else is new? I've told you a little bit about Hillary Clinton's secret Medicare plan, add 39 million Americans to Medicare, a system that's $17 trillion underwater and going broke in 10 years. That should work out just terrific. And, of course, she's not telling you about, you know, her public and private stance on things, as she admitted in her $250,000 speeches to Goldman Sachs and the Brazilian bank. But I am going to talk to you ladies out there, particularly any of you ladies who are in that 27% of college-educated white women who are not voting for Trump. Ladies, you have a college degree. You have a higher than normal, we assume, intelligence quotient. We assume that despite whatever nonsense your professors, your progressives, fed you, that you have the ability to, and you've been trained to, deductive reason. In other words, empirical thought. You can take these dots and connect them. You can add 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 6. You can add 6 plus 6 equals 12. I have a question for you. If you step back from the fact that Trump can be a total jerk-off, and he can say ridiculous things, and whether or not he likes women or respects women, forget it. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were going out with your hubby or your significant other for a night, who would you trust to safeguard your children for the evening? And I don't mean Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I mean, would you trust a babysitter who has lied to you repeatedly, stolen money from you, and taken pictures, as an analogy, of the valuable contents of your house and sent them to thieves and enemies of your family? Would you trust him or her to safeguard your children for the evening? Or would you trust somebody who has not done those things? Who would you trust more? I'm going to put it in the most basic family terms. We both know who these analogies allude to. And the safety issue is not some conjured thought. The United States, and therefore you and your family, are at extreme risk, peril, I would say. And we're not talking financial, economic, social, that's all a given. I'm talking about physical risk. Physical risk from terror, from nuclear attack, and from military actions. Which babysitter would you choose? And to all of you, and for all of you, get out and vote, folks. And for those of you in states, the seven states that allow changing your vote if you want to, get out there and change it. Get 10 people to the polls. Make 10 calls. Drive them down to the polls. If you know people in other states, particularly the swing states, get on the phone. Get them to the polls. We have not only do we have a divided country and need every vote, but we have to come up with millions of votes to offset what is absolutely positively preordained, predestined, and intentional voter fraud on the scale of millions of votes. And there's only one way to do it. That's to outvote them. That's to outvote their fraud. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see how Tuesday comes down. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.